Now, Beulah, I've discovered that the most difficult people to reach with the message of salvation are those who feel like they are too evil, too bad to be any good. Do you know anybody like that?
Yeah.
It may be somebody in your family, a co-worker, or somebody off the street. And when you attempt to share the good news to them of Jesus Christ, they all had one thing in common. They felt like they and they believed that their sins were too great to be forgiven. Wish I had a witness in this morning. They would say, I can't go and sit at church with those people, especially when everybody knows the things that I've done. Things that I've done in my life, and not only that, even the things I've done to some of them. And I'm ashamed to ask them for forgiveness. So, Bill, what do you do? What do you do to tell somebody who feel like that? Who feel like they're too bad to be any good? Listen, condensation is a difficult process. But if you condense the Word of God into one sentence, for all people who feel like that they are too bad to be any good, it would be in the 15th version, like that, that Jesus Christ, that Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners. This single verse in our text, indeed only part of the verse, can be condensed into one thought, that Christ came to save the sinner. So let's look at the text. Let's look at the text. Let's examine this text this morning and let's see together a sinner who wrote this verse of scripture. Paul, a sinner, too bad to be good, whose circumcision name was Saul. And he was a native of the city of Tarsus, which was located in the Roman province in Southeast Asia Minor. Now, this particular city was famous for a university. This is where Saul was born, and it was here that he spent his youth enjoying the best education his native city could offer. And it was decided by his parents that Saul should attend the university, where he would become a rabbi or a minister, a teacher, and a lawyer at the same time. But before seminary training, Saul learned a trade. He learned how to be a tent maker. Yeah, from goat hair cloth, which was a trade that was common in the city of Tarsus at that time. And once Saul's preliminary education was completed, Saul was sent at an age of 13 to a Jewish school in Jerusalem as a student of the Mosaic Law. He became a pupil of a well-known, celebrated rabbi, Gamaliel. And there he spent many years in the study of scriptures. And during these years of diligent study, he lived in all good conscience, unstained by the vices in that city. After his training now, Saul left. And now years has passed, and we find Saul back in the city of Jerusalem, where he may have been engaged with some synagogue there. And this was the time that he probably learned of the crucifixion and the rise of a new group of believers of Nazareth. Christianity was quietly spreading its influence in Jerusalem. Stephen, one of the seven disciples of the early Christian church, delivered a public and aggressive testimony that Jesus was indeed the Messiah. And this led to so much excitement among the Jews, both for and against Stephen's testimony. And Beulah, whenever you go, against the status quo. Whenever you truth, whenever the truth is told, you're going to have those who will believe the truth, and you're going to have those who will not. What scripture tells us in the Gospel of St. John in chapter 8, 32, and you will know that truth, and the truth will set you free. Beulah, persecution arose against Stephen and all of those who followed Christ. And Saul, who played an active role in the persecution and extermination of Christians, orchestrated the stoning of Stephen in an attempt to shut down this Christian movement. Beulah, if ever there was someone who seemed too bad to be good, it was Saul. Can I get a witness in here? But what man meant for evil, God works for good. Because the persecution of Christians, watch this now, caused the true believers to scatter. And with them, they carried their beliefs. And scripture said they were scattered, but everywhere they went preaching the word of God. And Saul became so angry until his anger turned into a fiery flame. Yes, Saul heard that the disciples as well as other Christians had taken refuge in the city called Damascus. I'm going to tell the story this morning. And so Saul went and got some letters from the chief priest authorizing him to pursue the Christian fugitive. No matter who they were, it could be man or woman, he was authorized to pursue them and bring them bound and back to Jerusalem. Beulah, when you got that kind of hatred in your heart, you would do almost anything because sin will take you further than you really want to go. Talk back to me if you can. But Saul was about to find out that even the worst of sinners is worth saving when Jesus is involved. Because Jesus looked on the inside while man looked on the outside. Yeah, is there anybody in here this morning who can help me testify that God has a way of stepping in right in the nick of time? He has a way of showing up when you were just about to throw in the towel. When all hope seemed to be hopeless, Jesus will show up and show out. I wish I had some help in here. Beulah, when Saul was within the city limits of Damascus, he was suddenly confronted by a blinding night. Yet Jesus, the light of the world, Jesus, the light that shineth in darkness, Jesus, after getting Saul's attention, called out. He said, Saul, why persecuted thou me? Oh, my brothers and sisters, it was crying out loudly, and he didn't make no mistake. He called it twice. Saul, just in case he didn't hear. Saul, why persecuted thou me? Now, how many know that you can be persecuted even in the church? Yeah, you can persecute folks by harassing folks when they come to church. Persecute. Yeah. Talk about folks when they don't look like you. Persecute. Frown at folks when they try to do the work in a ministry. Persecute. And the question that I'm asking this morning is, why persecute anybody who's trying to do the same thing you do? Come on, talk back to me again. But for those of you who have made up in your mind to do the right thing for Christ, don't get discouraged when folks try to hold you back. I got some good news for you this morning. There's a blessing when you are persecuted for his name's sake. I wish I had a witness again. Jesus said it himself. He said, blessed are those who are persecuted, watch this now, for righteousness. and say, here it is, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Jesus defined persecution as being revealed, to speak of abusively and having false things uttered about you. So the more they talk about you, the more they abuse you, the more blessings you receive. I wish I had somebody up in here. Listen, beautiful, those of us who endure opposition in this lifetime, we can be comforted by the fact that we belong to another world to come. Now, can I pause right there for a minute? I don't want you to get confused about this thing called persecution. Because some folks got a wrong understanding about it. Jesus said, and he made it very clear, he said, if you are persecuted for righteousness' sake, listen, you can't just say anything or do anything harmful to somebody and don't expect God to deal with you. When you are confronted about those things, you feel like you're being persecuted. That's not what Jesus is saying. Jesus is saying, if you are mistreated, if you are oppressed because of your faith in him, although you are mistreated and abused, if you endure for righteousness' sake, you are blessed. Hold back to me if you can. Not only are you blessed when you are persecuted, you also have a promise that God will manifest his strength in your time of persecution. I need one more witness in here. Well, can I bring it to your remembrance? Do you remember when the Corinthian church, all of the Corinthians were looking down on Paul's persecution as a sign that God's blessing was not upon his ministry and that he was not an apostle to be followed? Paul had to correct their thinking by telling them, for the sake of Christ, then I am content with weakness, insults, hardship, persecution, and calamities. For when I am weak, I will help the Holy Spirit. Then I am strong. But Jesus, clothed in his vesture of his glorified splendor, he demanded an answer. And all the Saul could say was, who are you? Who? Who are you? Dude, I wish I could have been there to answer that question. I would have told him, that's Mary's baby boy. I would have told him, that he's the King of Kings. A Christian, and I need you to been reformed sinners into the church. You have a problem receiving reformed drug addicts. A problem receiving drug dealers into the church. We have a problem dealing with reformed homosexuals, reformed addicts, reformed alcoholics into the church. But I heard Isaiah say, to condemn anybody. I wish I had somebody here who's a sinner like me who can testify that I wasn't all that good, but God kept me. You see, I made some mistakes in my life. I made some decisions that I shouldn't have made. I went down the wrong road and I should not have gone down. But God had mercy. Thank God for grace and blessing. Saul has been forgiven.